Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up with the trap?
hot out here. No, I don't mind though. I'm glad to be free. You know what I'm saying?
I worship right tonight, God. We'll pour our love on you. Break open our box. Give you everything. From here to there, worship is filling the atmosphere, both now and then. Songs of your love will never end. All day and night.
let my worship rise like a sweet perfume.
God sings over us tonight, and he said that I'll pour my love. May feel alone, but watch me, watch me, watch me pour my love. Oh, open up and let me in. I'll pour my love. In the wind.
of heaven, now pour mine like a river.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Inspiration Factory. This is an offering of Epiphany, the For Real Entertainment Network. Both are babies, brainchilds, whatever you want to call them, of none other than author Larry Maddox, also known as For Real the Poet. Tonight you have me, Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration, and my partner in praise, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poet. Van, good evening, bro. How are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there. For those of you listening, I guess I should ask for your forbearance this evening. I'm here, but I'm here with a heavy heart. I lost someone that I called my sister. She and I have been best friends for over 40 years, but I lost her this morning. But I can't let grief or any of that hold me back from praising God. So we're going to praise God regardless.
Amen, brother.
But my brain might not be 100% tonight. But my brother Van, what's going on with you these days?
Oh, man, just, you know, working, taking care of kids, you know, trying to be the best I can be for myself and for them, you know. I can't forget my other kid, you know, my daddy, He's my other kid.
I just don't let him hear you say that.
No, I bet not. I've been in a world of trouble.
But I got it. I got to record it. Did I ever tell you how much I really, really loved Rawlings jewelry? You know, sometimes gifts.
you love sneaky stuff. Sneaky. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear this? Do you hear the pastor? You hear the pastor tonight.
I was just saying gifts. I didn't say it was for me. Anyway,
I hear you, brother.
Yeah, I've been in your shoes, my brother, and it's a wonderful place to be, but it's also a frightening and a disconcerting place to be. You know,
amen.
Place where you definitely got to cling on to our Father to make it through. But I do take my hat off to you for being there.
Thank you.
In the world anymore.
I appreciate that.
We don't have the patience. Oh, you're quite welcome, bro. Anymore, we don't have the patience for dealing with our parents when they start to age. You know, everybody's so quick because it's going to interfere with your life. It's going to be inconvenient. But they never said that. Generationally, there might be two or three generations living in a house. Everybody played their part. Everybody thrived and survived. Nowadays, it's all about me, my time, my inconvenience, my this, my that. I might have to put out a couple extra dollars. Well, look, they gave us life. That alone warranted a little loyalty. Not to mention that they nurtured us and did the best that they could by us for at least 18 years. You know, with somewhere in that area, some earlier, some later. But they were there for us. You don't hear them often talk about how they sacrificed for us. You don't hear them talk about how they would rather be doing this than sitting here cooking dinner for you or how much money they could have saved if you never came. No. I don't know many people that can say that they've heard those things.
That's right.
You need to, you know, really rethink some things. Without them, there wouldn't be no us.
Yes, sir. Preach book.
You know, I worked 15 years in nursing homes, and I've seen some horror stories that just made me want to lay hands on people for their treatment of vulnerable people, you know, the way they strip them of their dignity in their elder years, the way they play them off, the condescending to them. Let me tell you, if you shut up and sit down and listen, there's a world of knowledge that you gain from listening to them. Sometimes it might come a little around the mulberry bush because, you know, the brains aren't that sharp. But you listen. Pay attention. Hear what they're saying. You'll be blessed by it, I assure you. But we're going to keep things moving along. Tonight, we want to pray about, we want to talk about, we want to hopefully do poetry about breaking generational curses or prayers that set up better way for the future generation. As we see the world getting worse and worse and worse, minute by minute, you know, shortcomings that were passed down to us are only going to get worse. And so we need to try to break some of those chains, pray a life, pray peace over future generations, because we need those soldiers raised up. This world is out of control. But before
yes,
we
sir.
Do any of that, we have to present this platform to the only one worthy of all that we can give, the only one able to fulfill any requests, and has to bring this in prayer. So, my brother Van, if you would be so kind, could you do that for us, please?
Be my pleasure. Let us go to the throne. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we humbly come to you right now, Lord God, asking forgiveness for any sins that we have committed against you, O Lord, that you are displeased with. Father God, we know that you are displeased with us when we sin because you hate sin. So, Father, we're laying ourselves upon the altar tonight, Lord God, asking for forgiveness. And, Father God, we want to ask for forgiveness of those who are committing these heinous acts of senseless murder, Lord God. The death toll is rising rapidly. And there's just so much happening, whether it be us killing us, police killing us. But it's not happening to just us, Lord God. Father God, we hear husbands killing wives, women killing men, parents killing children, children's parents being killed in their houses while the kids still are there, kids being shot in front yards, Lord God, migrants being killed in human trafficking in a semi-truck, Lord God. Father God, the world is crazy. People are crazy. But Father God, I am so thankful that you have not lost it. You have not given up on us. You have not discarded us like trash. And Father God, we yield to your power right now, Lord God, that you will intervene and step in. Allow us to be that catalyst for change, Lord God. We, your people, Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. Give us the might. Give us the power to be able to stand against these attacks of the devil, Lord God. Let's call it what it is. And Father God, I lift up the world to you right now, Lord God. I lift the world up to you right now. Because some of us don't know how to pray. Some of us are afraid to pray. Some of us won't pray. Because they say if there is a God, then how can he allow these things to happen? He allows these things to happen because he desires change. So he will allow anything to happen until we get it right. So, Father God, we're listening. And we're appealing to you for your help. Father God, we will be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that is due your name, for it's in Jesus the Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that, man. You're so right. This world needs prayer. That's the only solution to what we face right now. You know, the Bible has given us all that we need to know about when we've reached a point of no return, per se. And we're almost to that point.
Yes, sir.
So close. All of the clues that he left behind for us to tell us where we're going to go, how we're going to do it before we get to the point of no return. And we see it every day. More and more and more. And if you don't see it, you need to get your head out the sand and just look at the world around you. We need to increase our prayer life tenfold. That's not just for us. It's for our children, our grandchildren, our great-great-great nieces and nephews. Those future leaders of this world. We need to pray protection over them because the enemy surely is coming. He smells victory, but we can't give it to him. We need to pray guidance. We need to pray that they will raise up people that will guide our children the right way. Raise up parents that will teach their children the right way. We need to pray. That movie, The War Room, is the most powerful movie I've seen in my life.
Yes.
We need to get into our little quiet place. Get away from the distractions and the woes and the cares of the world. And honestly open our hearts and bear our souls before the Almighty God, praying for this world. Because if we don't, our future generations will be food for the enemy. That's all I got to say about that right now. I think we came here to praise God. I think we came here to uplift and edify one another. I think we came here to maybe plant seeds. So, why don't we begin? Oh, man. You know how I love to listen to you start a show off with your wordplay and your poetry and your messages. So would you mind, my brother, starting us off with these?
Sure, Paul. I don't mind at all. I like what you did. They're very colorful with your words. Their word choices. I got it, bro. I got it.
I knew I wasn't gonna get by with that, but I figured, what the heck, I might as well try. But with that, my brother, the mic is yours.
Thank you, bro. We're talking about these generational curses, right? I think one way for us to break generational curses is to remember and remind others that we are his walking testimony.
Yes.
I only thought no one was there but poetry. But for some reason, God had me through every trying time within every single line that I scribed. When I wrote with his authority, I felt his vibe, the kind of vibe that would release holy therapy upon my soul under his divine canopy, letting me know I was not alone. Penn wrote hundreds of metaphors, some even he wouldn't condone. Yet I felt a sense of peace when I would write out my release. See, God reminded me through every test. He would give me another testimony, but don't rest, because yet other attacks on my flesh would come. I'd never run. Instead, I'd yield to become his living epistle, even though I wrestle with an inner ability to react and respond in the flesh, as my pride would swell up in my chest, remembering I'm a child of the King, and my existence is to live out every breath and even sing praises to the King of Kings, for he is the King of Kings. Sing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. Just show the world a glimpse of his love that allowed his only begotten son to die on a cross for me and you, if you'd only believe that which is true and not false. Me, I'm a living testimony for his glory. And coronavirus tried to do the devil's handiwork, yet that's a part of my story. Well, here I am. Here I am. Lord, send me, because I'm your walking testimony. And that's that piece.
Go ahead. Proudly tell them, I am your walking testimony. I love that piece, man. It shows what faith in God can do. You know, you walk through some things with a sense of peace because you knew he had you.
Yes, sir.
And I like the vulnerability where you didn't neglect to speak about how, you know, sometimes I even wrestle with him. You know, we all do. You're showing that it's okay to fight what he wants us to do. But you also show that once you do listen to what he wants us to do, how much better things get. You know, that is a walking testimony to the power, the love, and the attention that God pays to each one of us.
Amen. For his glory,
that,
brother. His glory.
I love two words in that piece particularly, though, there. Don't rest.
That's right.
You know, we can't get a blessing and then be complacent with it. No, you can't rest. That just gives you more ammunition and more fuel to pass it on and work towards your next blessing. You know, we can't afford to rest and get complacent in this. And that, I think, is one of the most powerful messages in that powerful piece right there, man. Don't rest.
To God be the glory.
Yes, sir. And I'm sure he's grinning at you. I can see him now talking about, yeah, that's my song.
The same way we
do when our kids are out there doing something.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be me. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely sure he's pleased with that piece. Sending those seeds of hope, of experiences forward. That's what we're here for tonight. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Now, my brother.
No.
I know we're not going to let me just glorify God by myself.
Well, you know, they say it's bad form for a pastor to preach or something behind another pastor. So I thought that might work in this situation. But I have a feeling you're not going to allow that to happen. I guess I have no choice but to follow suit and give my pen to the Lord. So I have a piece, and I just finished it literally 10 minutes before the show started, and I'm not sure that I'm finished it. It's titled Changes in the Air, but it should be titled Unfinished, because I think there's going to be more to this.
All right, my brother, the mic is yours.
Thank you, sir. When the hairs on my arms bristled and stood at attention, I knew there was something going on that demands mental retention. There is a change in the air, and it would be prudent to take heed, because if you don't, you better beware. I think we as mankind have entered a very critical moment in our existence. I fear God has finally gotten tired of all of our resistance. The original sin occurred, and alas, mankind has been declining ever since. Change in the air. And it would be prudent to take heed, because if you don't, you better beware. After sacrificing his perfect holy son to pay sin's price for everyone, he suffers and suffers excruciating pain as he watched and watches us continually disobey him with the knowledge that mankind's end has begun. I can't imagine the pain and disappointment and sheer disgust that he must feel to see that his gift of eternal utopia has been shunned. We prefer to boldly flaunt our sin openly. I'm no longer trying to hide it in darkness at night. We brazenly now sin in the light of the sun. I fear our end has begun. There is a change in the air. And it would be prudent to take heed, because if you don't, you better beware. There is, however, also an opportunity to break the chains of sin, a chance to become and remain victorious and eternally win, a chance to be the pride and joy of God again. Our hope for the future, our part in saving souls into the future, our reasonable duty in showing gratitude to our King, is all in the power of prayer for future generations to have victory over the Prince of the Air. And peace.
Wow, Paul. This is amazing peace, man. I know God is pleased, man. God is pleased. As you poured out your heart in his peace as well. And you let the daddy scribe for you, man, and I could tell. You cheated, bro. You cheated.
What? Well, I had a friend that told me once when we were playing cards, I caught him cheating. And he told me, it's only cheating if you get caught. But I guess I got caught, so yeah, I cheated.
That's all right, bro.
But I wouldn't have it any other way, because I think it's important for us to share what it is that the Lord has to say and not what we have to say.
Yep.
I'm happy to be used by him. It still boggles my mind, man, I'm telling you. How is it that the Lord uses me in any of the arenas that he uses me? When I'm me, you know, I know me. You know, a lot of you know portions of me, but I know me in its entirety. I'm still flabbergasted. God still loves and wants to use me. Man, look, I'm not about to try to figure him out. I'm just going to go.
We can't figure him out, Paul. We can't figure him out.
No. And you know what? I got tired of trying. Because the more I tried, the more complex I found that he is. And the more I realized, whoa, this is way above my pay grade. Way above. But for those of you listening in the chat rooms and all of that, 319-527-6300 is the number to call in. Be sure to call in before the 11 o'clock hour. But we're going to open the lines to hear what some of the other callers have to say. I'm going to forewarn y'all. This next poet, sometimes, I think she has an oxygen tank. She can get long-winded. But, you know, at the end, when you finish it, wow, it was worth it. So, with that being said, I would like to welcome none other than Amelia T. Davis. Hey, Amelia, I had to give you a little bit of hard way to go. But you did forewarn me.
Yes. Good evening, Kings. Happy 4th of July holiday weekend to you both.
Thank you.
Right back at you. Right back at you.
Yeah. Happy 4th of July.
July.
Well. Oops, did I say that out loud?
So, yeah. This is a little bit long, and the reason why is because I felt like we had, well, us may very well know, the three of us, understand what generational bondage is or generational curse is, but not everybody. And I wanted to break this down and explain it, and then give ways to overcome it and how we could incorporate things into our lives, as was the assignment. So it is a bit long, so please be patient with me. But like you said, hopefully I will end with much to do. That was in God's purpose. So the piece is called The Generational Curse. Is the generational curse real? Exodus 34:7 says that God visits the iniquity of the father on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Does God hold me responsible for something that someone else did? Be assured, God does not hold you responsible for something that someone else did. But to understand the Lord's words to Moses, we need to consider the Old Testament and the New Testament. Old Testament doctrine, generational curse, in Romans chapter 5 through 7, the Apostle Paul argues that from a certain point of view, human sin and death are a corporate problem rather than an individual one. He tells us that that one man's sin, Adam, brought guilt to all people, Romans 5:18, and that sin entered the world because one man sinned, and death came because of sin, Romans 5:12. This is why each one of us remains a slave of sin unless we're set free by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, Romans 6:20-22. So here's what the generational curse is really about. The skeletons in your closet weren't put there by your dad or your grandmother or your great aunt. They're the work of your first parent. You were in Adam when he broke God's commandment. You were condemned with him. But that's not the end of the story. Praise God. Just as you were in Adam when he fell from grace, So now, if you believe in Jesus, you are in Christ through faith. This is what Paul means when he says that one man, Jesus, did obey. That's why many people will be made right with God, Romans 5:19. To get out from under the generational curse, you have to be grafted into a whole new family tree. Romans 11:11-24. New Testament teaching, salvation is individual. There is only one standard God uses to judge the world and determine who is saved and who isn't. Faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible confirms this in several passages, including, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. 1 John 5:12. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:17-18. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah wrote 600 years before the birth of Christ, and he anticipated this New Testament perspective that ultimately you will answer for your own actions. In these days, people will no longer say the parents have eaten sour grapes, but the children have a bitter taste in their mouths. Instead, everyone will die for their own sin. The one who eats sour grapes will taste them how bitter they are. Every individual is responsible for their own choices. In the end, the only choice that really counts is how you answer this question. Then, what shall do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Will you reject him? Will you spend eternity separated from God? Matthew 13:42. It won't be because of the skeletons in your family's closet. It will be because you didn't embrace the gift of God's forgiveness and grace through Jesus the Christ. Or will you receive him? Will you live forever in fellowship with the Heavenly Father? If so, it won't be because somehow managed to avoid the mistakes that previous generations made. It will be because you anticipated God's merciful offer of unmerited deliverance and salvation. No one can make that decision for you. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your aunts, uncles, spouse, children, grandchildren, or friends. It's your decision to make. Even the worst offender in a long line of sinners can be saved if they turn to Christ. But what about addiction and abuse? Set theologically aside for a moment, common sense tells us that behavior and attitude problems tend to run in families, just like physical characteristics of height, weight, hair color, and complexion. In the same way, certain types of sin can pass from generation to generation. This is particularly true of addictive behaviors such as alcoholism. Similarly, physical and sexual abuse might become ingrained in psychological legacies of certain families. However, none of this should be viewed in terms of an irrevocable curse. Spiritual deliverance is available to everyone who sincerely calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. And there are many sources of professional assistance for those who need practical help. Pastors, therapists, counselors, and doctors. We must answer Jesus' call to salvation first. Then we can begin new traditions that are healthier spiritually and emotionally within our families. We can develop Christian games at family functions. We can incorporate prayer at our meals and family gatherings. We can read the Bible and listen to gospel music as an uplifting practice. We can cut out liquor from our beverages and replace them with healthy drinks such as juice and water. We can show our love for family members in healthy ways, such as spending time just talking, hugging, blessing each other with our support. In these various ways, we can create new, healthy relationships within our family unit. Most of all, just love each other. Musings of Emilia T. Davis, a.k.a. Poetical Angel Queen, and peace.
I guess it would help to take the phone off of mute. Okay, it wasn't as long as I expected, Amelia, but you did get your point across. I appreciate the biblical references to back up your thoughts. You know, that's the most important thing. Whatever it is that we teach to someone, we're responsible for. So we need to always refer back to the Word of God in our actions. But I appreciate you, your energy in this, because it's something that's so important. We need to teach our future how to progress without falling into the wiles of the world today. So thank you so much for that, Amelia, and for the effort that you put into that. You was doing your homework. I you get an A for homework assignments tonight.
Thank you, Paul. I'm glad I met the challenge. I really took it very personally and felt like it really was something that needed to be broke down so that folks could thoroughly understand what it was and how to overcome it, and that just because, you know, Uncle John had some kind of issue, it doesn't have to mean that Cousin Sue has the same problem, that it can be broken.
Exactly, exactly. People get stuck in, well, this is my lot in life mentality. But there is freedom. There is freedom. So thank you so much for joining us with that, Amelia. Van, do you have anything before Amelia goes to the praise lounge?
I do. It's hard to refute the Word of God. You can't. You simply just cannot, first and foremost. So her bringing biblical references to back up, you know, the theme of the evening was perfect. But we didn't hear a poem, so maybe next Sunday she'll write a poem.
I feel like that the last part of it was poetic, but okay. I'll take that.
Thank you. Appreciate it. But no, that's all I got.
Once again, Amelia, thank you so much for coming through with that.
Much love to both of you.
One love, one mic. God bless you.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Amelia T. Davis. And next on the mic, we've got a brother whose life breaks generational curses just by his diligence. That's none other. Brother O, what's going on, my brother?
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing. I'm breathing, so I shouldn't complain.
That's it.
Hanging out with
that's
the Saints.
Right.
And you kind of taught me some of that. Despite your circumstances, ain't no point in complaining. You just go ahead and do what you got to do and keep it moving.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right.
That's it, Brother O. Good to hear from you, my brother.
Right.
So, my brother, what are your thoughts or your pieces or whatever you have for us tonight on this subject?
I believe, because, you know, my brothers, if it wasn't for the prayers of our mothers and grandmothers, we wouldn't be, back in the day. We had praying mamas and praying grandmothers back in the day, y'all. Going on now is, it's just we've lost touch. We lost the ability to. Prayer is not emphasized enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not emphasized enough. It is in taking out the schools. See, you take to a prayer out of the schools. Look what happened in the school. You have to have a school resource officers at schools, because back in the day, we had prayer warriors that stood in the gap. And all this stuff that's going on now is a result that people have turned away from prayer. They want to come and be entertained instead of being ministered to. That's where the problem is. Kind of reflects on problem with generational curses going on. All this behavior that's going on passing one generation is just getting worse.
Yes,
sir. People are turning away from God. That's the thing. They turn away from him. You cannot do that.
Ever so right. Ever so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank God for it. Still the remnant. Those of us. Like
exactly.
Those of us right here tonight, you know, that are trying to do our parts. You know, if we don't talk about it, if we don't validate each other in our efforts, then we're wasting our time. So. I'm so grateful to be a part of something that's going to be a platform to break some of these curses, to at least empower someone to think that it can be broken, give hope to the lost, you know. And it's the callers that also help us. The band and I couldn't do it by ourselves. So we appreciate you guys as well. But what did you bring for us tonight?
This poem is called... is missing the black community today. As I go along in the piece.
Like yours.
BRLS is missing the black community today. We have a crisis on our hands, my dear brother. Say we spare love and structure. Prayer. If our community again, we must go back better for us as a people. This is about discipline. And we shall apply these back and time to discuss that, then parents will not go to the house and children obey. Discipline was designed to understand that they were responsible and accountable for their choices and actions. Discipline used back then were very hard. It was very effective in keeping children in line. It was commonly used to administer discipline. Ever did anything wrong, they kids he or she learned their lessons. Brothers and sisters are awful, have respect for their elders and themselves. Kids always address adults as Mr., Mrs., in addition to their last name, saying yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am was the standard that was said back then. My children might call them by their first name, and they would join the homes in the black community back in the 60s and 70s. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Jesus enforced the meaning of respecting somebody's constantly watching over them. There was no way in the world that the old folks would allow boys to wear earrings or girls to wear cross dress back then. There was a time when we show love to and for one another. Back then, people always looked out for each other. Families were very close to each other. Back then, there was the principle of village raising a whole child. Older kids always played with younger kids to provide an example for them to follow. Parents showed their kids just how much they loved them and loved them. In most communities in the 60s and 70s, they lived by the proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. What I mean by that is that neighbors always knew one another, worked together to provide a safe environment for their kids. Old folks back then emphasized trust in our community. Families with two parents were very common back in the day before single parents became the norm now. Men played major roles in the community and were very visible in the leaders of their families until they were systematically absent from the homes. They also believed in the value of a hard day's work. Real men always provided for their families, spent quality time with their children. Fathers didn't run out when times got rough. Men dug deeper within themselves and tried harder so their children followed their examples. Men always provided financial, emotional, and spiritual stability for their wives. Kids were always went to church and read the Bible, and tithes and girls were dressed and were kept in line by the church mothers and deacons. Parents back then stand on 2 feet by the time they turn their brothers and sisters. What I said to you tonight is very important for obvious reasons. Our community was a generation ago. Now, our community images that broadcast on TV and the movies, these ideas will only work if we come together and say we have to be more responsible for our choices and more accountable for our actions. We cannot stand all this negativity in our community no more. It's time for discipline, structure, and prayer to be at peace.
Very well said there, Brother O. You said a lot in that piece, as you always do.
Right.
You ended it perfectly. None of these things that we need can happen without prayer.
Right.
We're all here because of prayer. We've all achieved because of prayer. You know, don't get cocky and thinking that you did that. No, that don't be you.
That's right.
The answer of a prayer over you. So we need to be about our Father's business and pray for one another. Thank you so much for bringing that, Brother. We needed to hear that tonight. Ben, you got anything?
Absolutely, Brother O. As always, man, I appreciate your work, man, and the realness that you bring. And you keep standing. Penmanship shows your ability to allow God to use you. And this piece is no different, brother. So we thank you, man. And just keep
right.
fighting a good fight, brother. Keep holding on, man, because you are needed. So thank you, brother.
Exactly. I've been hearing that a lot lately, man, and I realize that I'm an important piece that's been on the sidelines for a while, man. I'm still continuing to do this work while I'm in the hospital.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Still got work for you to do, brother.
That's right. You're not here just because you're lucky. There's a purpose.
That's right.
As long as you're doing what you're doing.
It's all about tending to the Father's business, brothers. That's all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Say that again. Say that one more time.
It's all about tending to my Father's business.
Yes, exactly. Man, look. Beautiful thing. Absolutely. My brother, we're going to send you to the praise line because we have a few more hands raised. But I hope you stick around with us.
Okay, thank you.
Bless us. Amen. God bless you there, Brother O. One love.
Thank you.
Mike.
God bless you guys, too. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brother O. That's a brother who epitomizes faith. I appreciate him. And now we have a poet coming up that's no stranger to the Inspiration Factory. Brother of wisdom, faith, and laugh.
Well.
And none other than
here we are again at First Methodist Episcopal Baptist Church beside the rock down the hill from the liquor store. How is y'all doing on this good Sunday?
Doing good, my brother. Doing good, man. How you doing?
You just made the evening better.
I can't complain. Good to hear y'all. Good to be heard from.
I know that's right. That means we're still here.
Figured I would attend service, you know, this first Sunday, so it's communion time.
Well, Dave,
yes, sir,
I'm sorry. We just have grape juice.
Okay, I say I'm going to need to hit the next church then. I need to go to Catholic church. They got wine.
They
got
Episcopal church. Episcopal church really got that real wine, though. I'm sorry. We got grape juice. But at least
And I'm going to tell them I need a double because it's been a rough month, the last month. How about that? Just give me two shots. Make sure this works out right.
Lord help me. Man, why'd you open this man's line?
Two shots.
And he does get started.
Yeah. You got to make it a double. Listen, in the good book, Jesus turned a whole bunch of water into wine. He ain't turned a couple cups into wine. So, you know, I mean, we need a lot of it.
It's
too much.
And bring it to the fish fry, you know. That's why black people feel that Jesus is black, because he fed all them people with a fish fry. Five fish and two loaves of bread, or two fish, five loaves of bread. It was some bread and fish. I forgot exactly how much it was, but it must have been a big fish if you feed all them people. That fish may have been a whale.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fish to be cutting up.
That it is, brother. You ain't never lied.
But yeah, I just called, you know, mess with y'all a little bit. I ain't got no peace in there. Now, I heard y'all got a question. I ain't hear what the question was, but I answered the question. I ain't bring no peace. I just come through and give y'all a hard time.
I'm pretty
sure y'all been depressed by enough people since the show started. That's one thing, you know, people come here, they don't come to get testimonies or tell how good God been or nothing like that. They come here to just whine and complain about, you know, they broke a high heel or the ankle's too big and all of that stuff. I ain't coming to do none of that.
We're just grateful to have your presence here, my brother. But we're just discussing ways of breaking generational curses. You know, that's our focus for tonight. Empowering our future generations for what's to come. You know,
Yeah, one of the first ways you can start is get rid of that what happens in this house stays in this house. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If something hurting you inside that house, you tell somebody. You know what happens in this house stay in this house.
Yes, sir.
Because you keep raising your kids like that, they're going to raise theirs the same way. Quit downing your kids. The kid try to do something. I heard some parents, their kids say, I want to be an astronaut. You can't be no astronaut. Ain't nobody in the family been no astronaut. Well, maybe ain't nobody in the family graduated college. But that's your dumb self. Don't be telling that kid what they can't do. Quit blaming the kid on what the daddy has done to you. You mad at the daddy. So you want to take it out on the kid. Well, you wasn't mad at the daddy when you were making the kid. So don't take that out on the kid. There's a whole bunch of these people. They got to get off of it. You know, you got to get real about life. I just want to put on airs and make everything look good for the public. Now you better make it look good for life.
Indeed.
Especially with our people. You know, our people horrible for that. I mean, just to be honest with you. I don't know how white folk raise their kids. I ain't never been white before. I grew up black all my life. You know, we do things differently. You know, and get back, quit sparing that rod. It say in the good book, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I wish I would have called 911 back in the day after getting a whooping. It's a long time for to get there. There's a whole bunch more you got to come if you done did it.
Uh-huh.
I ain't know nothing about no timeout or none of that. You know, the kids that got timeout growing up then turned into serial killers. Because that whole timeout you gave them to sit in the corner gave them time to think about what they finna do next.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we all agree on that one. That was one of the biggest mistakes mankind could have made.
They
decided to tell you, you could go to jail for chastising your child. Because I know my mama would have had my bags packed, and when 911 got there, she'd have been shoving me out the door. Well, you take him with you. If I can't chastise this child and bring him all right, you take him with you. And you know,
I ain't trying to go nowhere. And I mean, you know, one thing about it, we all at our age, we are now. I mean, you know, I know we're all different ages. Paul, I know you like 173, but you know, we all 72. Still remember a good whooping from years ago. You know, you get ready to do something stupid, you think back to one of them whoopings you got, and you be like, that's all right. I changed my mind.
Maybe
I
don't.
You know, ain't nobody ever remember no timeout. You can't remember one time in your life that you just sat in a corner to think about something. You don't remember that, but a good woman, yeah, you remember them. Them stick with you for life.
Remember them. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. People
and
talking about that child abuse and all this. Well, that child go to the penitentiary, they're going to get more than abused than now. But that's supposed to be okay. You know, that's supposed to be reconditioning somebody and all that. No, it's not that. Is going in there is cheap labor and abuse. He said, whoop your kid, get out of line, everybody just whoop your kid. And if the next door neighbor got something to say about it, whoop them too. Just know it's a difference in a whooping and beating your child. That's two totally different things. You can't discipline your kid when you all mad and everything, because you're going to take everything else out that you're mad about on that kid. It don't work that way. You know, don't be mad at Leroy and take it out on the kid. Just the kid do something, you know, you got to explain what they done and the reason why they're getting disciplined. You can't just go in there beating on them 2 weeks later because you didn't get mad about something else and you think about, I forgot to whoop the kid. No, it don't work that way either.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Another way we can break some generational curses. Ladies, stop being married to Ricky and having children with his brother Leroy. That's another way you can break some generational curses, because I'm tired of these brother-cousin kids. You know, just stick to who you got and leave it at that.
Yeah.
Whatever bothered you growing up and what you think that, you know, you hated the facts you had to go through or with any type of rules or whatever, has just been handed down, stop it. You know, it stops with you. You have to be the one to break the generational curse. If you just go along with it, you keeping that curse going. So, you know, dad will be different and break that curse.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
No arguments here, my brother.
You know what I love most about you, Dave? you
what's
are,
that? I cut for you.
Bring,
if you need me
you
to.
You bring realness with you, but you touch on some things that really some very pertinent points, and I love your ability, your gift of bringing laughter and the things that you know we need to think about. Because when you laugh about something, it's going to stick in your head a little bit. You're going to think about it again. And boy, that man had me cracking up when he said this. And then you're going to think, wow, that's real laughter what he said. What was his name? Oh my goodness, I can't think of a comedian's name that got burnt. Not Eddie Murphy.
Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor said some real deep things and had you cracking up while he was saying them. But then you thought about them later.
Oh, yeah, you know, Richard never really told a joke.
That's a real gift.
He just told real life stories with a funny twist to them. Like, you know, that was all stuff that happened to him. You know, I say a good 90% of it that he told, you know. But he kept you intrigued with his storytelling.
Yeah. And that's a good point.
Thank you, Paul. That's a good point. People, y'all better laugh at something. It's enough to cry about. You better find something to laugh at. And if you're listening, to everybody listening, if you feel you can't find nothing to laugh at, I'm going to tell you the guaranteed way you can get your laugh to last all day. When you wake up in the morning, take off all your clothes and stand in front of a full-length mirror. I guarantee you're going to laugh because everybody's funny looking naked. So just look at yourself naked. I guarantee you're going to laugh out of it. You know, especially if you're built like me. You know, I lost this weight and everything. Now my stomach looked like balled up homework in the front. And I used to laugh at women about that. Now I laugh at myself with it. You ought to see me take my shirt off and stand in front of a fan. Well, I look like one of them little squirrels and flying squirrels. All this skin be flying in the wind. But I find it funny and I'm cool with who I am. That's another thing. I would be cool with who you are. You ain't got to worry about impressing nobody. Ain't nobody got nowhere to put you, nowhere to fit you. You ain't got to worry about impressing nobody. Just be yourself.
Yeah. Because you're the only one that got to live with your choices. So, yeah, you better strive to impress yourself.
Yeah, that's it. And if anybody don't like you for who you are, inbox me and I'll give you a reply for them. I can't say it here on the Inspiration Factory, but it ain't but two words. I inbox you the exact words to tell them, you know. Yeah, every short word, you know, ain't but seven letters between both the words. But if you really want to know it, just inbox me and I'll let you know what it is. I will not be the one to say that here with Inspiration back.
You're crazy. But that's what
but
I was
I ain't going to burn no more of y'all time. I just wanted to come through and holler, you know, get a good word
what,
from y'all.
Before
you
go.
Know.
What are you doing with your poetry these days?
You say that one more time?
I said, before you go, tell us what you're doing with your poetry these days.
Nothing. No, I got another erotic book that I'm working on. It's be coming out next month. It's for, you know, and everybody can read it. It's for the church women that don't wear drawers. That's what that next book is going to be for, directed toward them, you know. I know what y'all doing with that virgin olive oil. I don't know why y'all using virgin olive oil because, you know, you gave away that part of your life a long time ago. But, yeah, I know y'all. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's for the church women that don't wear drawers and the deacons that still wear high karate. You know, it's made for everybody. So I'm trying to include all of them through there. You know, it's for the women that can see their whole foot when they standing up and for the women that got stretch marks and varicose veins. I'm trying to include everybody. I don't want nobody left out.
I think you got everybody, Dave.
Yeah, he got everybody.
It's even for some white women. Not all of y'all, just some of y'all. Some of y'all cool. Some of y'all Karens. I ain't got time to be messing with y'all. Y'all calling, killing on everybody and everything. We don't mess with y'all that tough. But you Becky's with the good hair. Yeah, y'all, it's for y'all too. But that's all I got going on, you know. And let the church say
Dave,
amen.
My brother.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going to say amen, amen, and amen again. My brother, it's always a pleasure to have you come through with your wisdom and your wit. You know, the two go hand in hand. Love you, bro. One love, one mic.
The pleasure's all mine, man. Much love to y'all. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't catch it, that was none other than Dave Mott, also known as Mr. Metaphoria. Man of wears a whole lot of hats. It's a good thing because he got a big old head. So, you know, it's a good thing he can switch up them hats every now and again. He don't know how to get back on here and do it and open his mic the way he can.
Say that again, bro.
He doesn't know how to come back on here and open his mic because I'm getting ready to talk some trash about him. But I don't want to.
Nah. He'll know how to do that. He'll know how to do that.
Okay, good. Yeah, that big water head or something. Man, let me tell you. I'm not going to do it. What I am going to do is ask you, my brother, to give us the epiphany rundown for the week and that special public service announcement that we are compelled to give, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join Epiphany Radio tomorrow night for King and Queen's Quarters with your hosts, Queen Simmons and King Atterbury. Tuesday night's going to be Fly Speak with your host, Mojave. Wednesday night's going to be the Erotic Love Zone with Ms. VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is going to be Iron Sharpens Irons with Anonymity. And then Saturday night's Poetic Therapy with Rob, the Djembe Poet, Morrow, and La Perla Negra. So make sure y'all tune in because we'll be right back here for Sunday edition of The Inspiration Factory with your host, Divine Inspiration, a.k.a. Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking tonight about this man named Jesus. If it is your desire to come to know him the way that we know him, or even if you want to rededicate yourself and get closer to him, reach out to myself or Paul Sampson so we can usher you into the presence of the Lord through his written word and through our experiences. Because there's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord and allowing him to guide your life. So please, we're here for you. Reach out to us. We'll be happy to walk you through. Paul, back to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Like y'all see, Epiphany has something for you every night of the week. And in addition to every night of the week having something poetically challenging and entertaining for you, any day of the week, 24/7, you have the access to Raw Links jewelry. You know, I got mine. You should definitely get yours. Same, my brother is putting out some beautiful pieces, Raw Links jewelry. Right now, I want you guys to come to the phone with me if you don't mind. Heavenly Father, there's not much more that can be said that hasn't already been said. And I think it all boils down to, Lord, we need you. We need you, Father God. This world needs you. We need you, Father, to empower people to spread your name, to spread the good news, Lord, despite the persecution, despite the ridicule, Father God. We need you to raise up warriors, Father God. Father God, we need you to break those generational curses that are keeping us from advancing forward, Father God, keeping us from fighting the good fight for your name's sake. Lord, we ask that you would touch callers, the listeners, those that wanted to come and couldn't. Touch them, Father God. Empower them. Give them peace, Lord. We also hold up our sister, Adrian, Father God. Help her with her health issues, Father God, and the children. Touch them, Lord. Put your healing hands of protection upon that family, Father God, and bring them to where they need to be. Father, until we meet before your throne again in another week, if it be your will, Father, we ask that you would just walk with us, guide us, help us to meet again next week, a better version of who we were this week. We'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that is due to righteous names. And our Father, it is in the matchless, mighty, and precious name of Jesus the Christ that I pray. Amen.
Amen.